Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and YouTube show by Elegant Themes, a proud leader in the premium WordPress theme and plugin market. Now, the goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. In this episode, I'll be talking with Corey Jenkins. Now, Corey's one third of Aspen Grove Studios with co-founder David Blackman and their lovable company dog, Doug. But don't let that figure fool you. Corey easily does half the work over there. Now, when we caught up recently on Skype, we had an awesome chat. We covered the usual stuff like his WordPress story. We also dove into a topic that I think a lot of you will find incredibly useful, establishing a highly functional workflow with a distributed team. I hope you stay tuned for that and a whole lot more because it's coming up right now. Corey, welcome to Divination.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really glad you could make it. What's going on in your world today?
Not a whole lot, just kind of a typical day. Kind of been a crazy morning, so kind of took about a half hour before this interview, unplugged everything, turned off notifications, and kind of got in the zen mode.
Yeah, and you're in Arizona, right?
Yes, I'm up in the northern half of Arizona, about hour 45 minutes north of Phoenix. We're up, so you like you go from Phoenix and you basically just drive up a mountain, and it cools down like 20 degrees. But, my house is at about like 6,000 feet.
Oh, wow. That's so quite the elevation to live at anyway.
So we get a little bit of snow, we get some heat. It's supposed to be like 100 degrees this weekend or something,
Oh, cool. But
it's tolerable.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you ready to jump into today's show? We got a lot to cover.
I'm ready. Yep.
Absolutely. Sweet. So I like to start off by having people tell their WordPress story. I'm sure you've seen a number. I know David Blackman, your business partner, was on and he did the same thing. So why don't you start off by sharing with the community for those who don't know you or don't know you real well. What is your WordPress story? Like, when did you get started in WordPress? When did you get into web design? And then when did you stumble on Divi and start using that?
Sure. I guess I first really started working with WordPress probably back in late 2007, early 2008. I was in California and I owned a myself and a partner owned a advertising agency out there. And the agency started off more as a traditional media agency. We had both come from newspaper backgrounds, so we had knowledge in like advertising buys and things like that. So it really wasn't too long after we formed the agency that the real estate market and the economy just completely tanked and people weren't buying those like $10,000 front page newspaper ads and stuff.
So
we kind of took a step back and decided that we would kind of morph into a digital agency. And we really had no idea what that consisted of at the time. So we put out a Craigslist ad. We were looking for a web designer because we'd had a few inquiries from clients. And we found this awesome guy named Omar. And he started working for us. And even at the time, he really didn't know how we were going to build the websites or what the process was going to be. So the first couple of sites were like HTML templates from like Template Monster or something like that. And they were just like, they were pretty terrible looking, you know, like the bouncing effects and little sound effects. So,
we all have to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of funny looking back. I wish those sites were still up. So somewhere along the line, we had a meeting and he said, let's start using this, let's start using WordPress. And ourselves, like everybody, and especially at that point in time, we just thought it was a blogging platform. We had no idea about plugins, how to make themes and stuff like that. So Omar kind of took the helm on that, and he would build most of the websites. We would get in there, and it was easy for us as project managers to go in and change text and stuff like that. So, just to clarify, at the beginning,
you were doing like, you know, the sales and marketing and working with the clients, and that was kind of your role, but you were able to get in because of WordPress and start to actually tinker with websites.
Exactly. Yeah. My role at the time was more like of a creative director. You know, I was going out getting the clients, putting together contracts. So, you know, as a lot of people do, you know, I was wearing a lot of different hats. So then I, you know, we'd get in there and I'd start tinkering around with like CSS and stuff. And, you know, Omar, the designer, he'd kind of get mad at times because we'd like, you know, screw something up. He'd have to go back in and fix it.
But so, now you know to use test sites, right? Staging sites.
Exactly. Yeah. We've learned that the hard way over the years. So flash forward a couple of years. I met my now wife and, we talked about getting married and I, you know, decided I wanted to get out of California, just kind of start fresh. So I made the decision. I'm going to pack up. I kind of like sold everything, moved to Arizona, moved to Prescott, and my grandparents are here. I've got some family, so it was a pretty easy transition.
Yeah.
So the first job I took when I was in Arizona was at a radio group, and they have like five different radio stations and a website for each of those. So the owner kind of saw my background, and he goes, "Oh, you can build websites," and I go, sure, you know,
yeah, definitely.
I can do that. I'd never built one from scratch necessarily.
Absolutely. Just give me some time to figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I was honest with him, but I was kind of like, you know, the act as if type thing. I was like, I can do that. And, so all of his sites at the time, except for one of them were on WordPress. And then he had one on Joomla. And, so I took over those sites. You know, made a lot of different changes, became really familiar with WordPress, at that time. And, then he had me do, you know, some different things. I built, some, web apps with like WP Touch. And, I think that was during that job, that's where I became like really familiar with WordPress and really interested and excited about it.
So that was okay. So you were, that was just basically an extension to your job that you ended up kind of finding your niche in, like you liked it more than your job.
It became a big part of my job. I would do other things there. I'd put together like newsletters, in MailChimp. I'd, controlled all their social media. Yeah. They would grab me from time to time to like voice over, commercials and stuff like that.
That kind of stuff happens. Like, you know, you're doing one thing and then you start something on the side or you start something and as a peripheral responsibility and it just sort of like takes over. I mean, that's how I got involved in blogging. I used to do business development startups. And then all of a sudden they're like, we need someone to manage our blog. And this was back in 2008 or 2009 or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And before you know it, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah. A lot of times it's, you know, it's like a foyer from a current job or it's like a hobby. If you talk to a lot of other developers that kind of, you know, it's something that they're excited about that they, you know, start to learn more about and, you know, then all of a sudden it becomes a career.
Yep. Well, speaking of careers, I mean, you've since started your own digital agency called Aspen Grove Studios. Can you tell us a bit about how that came to be and where you're at now?
Sure.
And I'm sure Divi works in there somewhere, right?
Yeah. Divi plays just a minor role. All that. Huge. Yeah. Late 2013, my son was born. And a couple of months after he was born, I was like, man, I hate leaving the house. I hate, you know, not being around my family as much as I could. So I made the decision to quit my job and just go out on a limb and start doing freelance work. So I spent a bit of time just doing freelance work with my own company, and I did that for a little bit. And then within one of the Divi groups, myself and my current business partner, David Blackman, met. And initially, we were just kind of like collaborating on ideas and projects. We were sharing a developer that we would use to help out on larger projects and kind of lighten the load. So then, it just kind of I don't even remember the initial discussion, but David and I started talking about, hey, you know, we should start creating child themes. Mm-hmm. And initially he was kind of pushing towards me to do it. You know, hey man, you should do this. You know, you'd be great at it.
And you're like, and why don't we do it?
Yeah. Cause I was thinking that's a lot of work on top of, you know, everything else I'm doing. So yeah, that's where the conversation then, you know, a week or so later led, why don't we do it? And, you know, from there we just kind of said, okay, let's do it. We started, you know, working on some of our first, I guess we came up with a name, got all that together, you know? And then we started working on our first products, you know, which were a couple of child themes and a plugin, the footer editor plugin.
Oh, great. So, well, that kind of brings us, I think, into the main topic that we kind of settled on during our pre-interview, which was establishing a workflow for your distributed design team. And so the whole idea here is that, you know, for your studio to work, for your everyday life to work, and for a lot of other people in the community, where there's a huge combination of freelancing, consulting, white label work, and digital agency work, we all have to figure out how to collaborate with our team members in different time zones, in, you know, different locations, whether it's different time zone or not, what tools we're using and how we're ultimately just going to get the job done and keep our clients happy. You know, this is even something that the Elegant Themes staff has to do because we're an entirely distributed company. So I think all around just exploring this topic is going to be really valuable to everybody. And I wanted to talk maybe about splitting that up into a few different categories so we could tackle, I think, three areas that are going to be really essential to this discussion. The first is clients. The second is products. And then the third is the tools that make, you know, doing all of that possible, creating all those things or working with those clients possible. Does it sound good?
Sounds great. Yeah.
All right, cool. So let's jump into it and maybe walk us through how you and your team onboard a client and work through to completion of whatever project it is that they hire you to do.
Sure. I first started kind of putting together the processes for client onboarding a couple of years ago. I had been to a WordCamp. I heard some really great speakers, Chris Lima actually being one of them. And I kind of like took a step back after that conference and went, wow, I have no idea what I'm doing as far as clients and contracts. And, you know, it kind of scared me a little bit.
Especially since you're doing it full time. I mean, it's your livelihood and you all of a sudden step back and go, maybe I'm not quite as prepared as I thought I was.
Yeah. And you start running through the worst case scenarios in your mind.
So I
got back from that, from the WordCamp. It was WordCamp Phoenix. And I just started doing a lot of research and I came across, WP Elevation and Troy Dean. And actually signed up for one of his courses that he had. Mm. So, you know, from there I was introduced to, you know, putting together the processes of client onboarding, you know, just kind of from the initial meetings, the right questions to ask. Another part of that was your website, inquiry form. So, So I kind of did a one-off of WP Elevation's inquiry form where people, before I would even start a project for them, I would ask, okay, here's the link, go to this page, fill out this questionnaire. You'd ask them their goals, how they envision their website, what mm-hmm. would be considered a success for them in the website. And it really helped give me an idea before the project even started of what they were looking for and what they were expecting and also what I was to expect going in.
Right. And a lot of agencies call this a discovery phase. And
a discovery phase. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're just gathering all the information in. I think, you know, that's one of the big things that when I did my first couple of freelance gigs, I remember not doing that at all and just being like, yeah, I can build you a website and let me get to work on it right now. And I just start working and I show them, they'd be like, yeah, we don't want any of that. That's not at all what we had in mind. It's so like having that time to say, you know what? It's going to be worth it for you to have me on the clock learning about you so that when I do get down to work, we don't waste any time and I can actually deliver you exactly what you want.
Sure. Yeah, and I actually started using a almost like a pre-discovery phase and then a post-contract discovery phase.
So, okay, yeah. Can you explain what you mean by that and how that works?
Sure. So after the initial discovery phase, I put together their contract, which is kind of a combination of a proposal and a contract. I use kind of a version I put together of Contract Killer, which is an open source web development contract that I came across.
Oh, cool.
So in there, I spell out all the different phases, you know, all the different functions they're wanting the website to have, the different phases of development, payment schedules, which typically most projects are 50% upfront, 50% upon completion and prior to launch, you know, so before we move it over to their servers or live, we request that that last payment. So once I receive the contract back, then I go into the full discovery phase, which, you know, for us entails really, you know, researching functionality for larger projects. We'll actually put together a mock-up, whether it be a wireframe mock-up using something like Balsamiq, or for really big projects, we actually put together like PSD mock-ups, which we've just started in the past couple of months. So, you know, so I actually make that large discovery phase a part of the contract, and I set aside a budget for that.
And then after you get sign off from your client on the, you know, that prototype stage or that kind of mock-up stage, what happens next? And how do you guys as a team actually get the work done together, but separately?
So after the contract is signed, we have, you know, kind of a couple of different ways using, you know, some different programs and stuff that you know, that I guess we'll get into, here in a bit, but, you know, we take, the different parts of the development process, kind of look at who's going to do what, who's best at doing what, and, kind of delegate those different tasks to people and, you know, set deadlines for each thing so that we make sure we're meeting, each aspect of that project.
Excellent. So. And can you maybe talk about like what the collaboration process between you and your team looks like when you're doing iterations or like, you know, does somebody take a stab at something and then submit it to you or submit it to David or you know, what's that whole, design review iteration process look like?
Yeah. So basically we'll take the, we'll take the task, hand it off to the developer. And usually we're doing like daily check-ins. We never use email. We use, you know, like Trello and Slack for most of our communication. And so basically through each of those phases, if our developer finishes something, he'll move a task from like to do, and he'll move that over, you know, into an area called doing, and he'll leave some notes on where he's at. So we can actually jump into Trello, and look at any given task and, you know, they'll put notes in there. You know, I'm having trouble on this. Can you get this information for me? So throughout the whole development process, we can see exactly which task is where, what they might be having difficulty with.
Yeah.
If something's ready to, you know, to show to the client. So we kind of follow a series of processes like that.
Oh, fantastic. And for those who don't know, that's sort of like a digital version of the Scrum technique of project management, where you're having different stages that a large project is in. And, you know, that's something that is, I think, really important with larger projects. You know, to-do lists are great, but they're kind of binary in the sense that it's like, this is to do, is it done or not, you know?
Exactly.
And to have the different stages visualized, I think is really helpful. And tools like Trello, which is the app that you're talking about, really help people do that. We'll revisit Trello and Slack and all the other stuff that you use here in a second. Let's talk about products now. How do you guys go about thinking up the idea, the concepting, approving concepts, and then actually developing, launching, and marketing your products as a distributed team? What's that process look like?
Sure. So the cool thing about the Divi community is obviously the Facebook groups and just the communication the Divi community has within itself. So we spend a lot of time in Facebook groups answering questions, just reading different things that people are putting in there.
So that's your market research.
that's our market research. And I couldn't really think of any better way to do market research, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to exactly the same people who are going to be most interested in what you're selling. So
exactly. Yeah. It's awesome. So, we'll see, maybe one day we'll be, in a group and somebody will say, hey, I wish I could do this with Divi, I wish, Divi had this feature. So from there, a lot of times I'll hear something or David will hear something and he'll, shoot me a message. Hey, Corey, what do you think about this? Do you think this would be a viable, product and vice versa? I'll do the same thing. So from there, we'll kind of decide. We usually have a running list of like 5 to 6 ideas for a plugin or a feature.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of look at, okay, what's going to be the best thing to release, coming up? What's the most needed? What's going to be the most popular plugin for us to release?
Yeah. And do you guys have actually schedule things out pretty far in advance? Like, do you have some type of a development cycle where you're releasing a product? Like, okay, well, this is the product that we're going to release in 6 months. And then after that, we're moving on to this product. And so
not as far in advance as we'd probably like. a lot of times it's, we'll have the idea. Okay. It'd be awesome to get this cranked out within a month. Mm-hmm. We'll send it to our development team. Just kind of talk things over. Is this possible? How long do you think it's going to take? What do you need from us? And, and then from there, we'll try to set a deadline. I don't know if we're ever 6 months to a year in advance, but we're usually looking at, probably at least 2 months in advance.
Sure. Okay. Wow. Yeah.
So,
and then from there, what do you guys do once you have, say, a prototype?
Once we have a prototype.
Sorry. And to clarify, sure. And how does, like, specifically we're talking about, how all of this is done remotely or distributed, how you guys are collaborating on this. So how do you guys manage your versions? Like, are you on GitHub for your products or do you guys have just trade files back and forth? How do you do that? And what's that process?
For versions, we're actually looking to get, onto GitHub soon. We're familiar with GitHub, but we're not comfortable enough to start using it as a team yet, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So our versions of plugins, we actually keep in a Google Drive folder. So our drive has, child themes, plugins. Within each of those folders, we have, subfolders for each plugin and then subfolders for each version.
Gotcha.
Actually during the plugin development process, we'll kind of do the same thing we do for websites. We'll start a Trello board. And that Trello board will actually feed into Slack. So anytime
awesome.
Something's updated in there, it'll send a notification to that particular Slack channel. So we'll have features, testing, and then complete. And as we kind of move across the development process, we'll have our developers move those Trello cards over to the different lists that accordingly.
Oh, fantastic!
So.
And then once you have your, we can jump back into my previous question before I preempted myself. Then once you have a prototype or a version that you want to move forward with, what's testing like, and then what's the eventual launch like?
Yeah. So testing, we usually have a small group of beta testers. Usually myself and David and, a few other members of our development team will test it and take a look at it. What we learned in testing is that you've got to actually so we install this plugin. Now you've got to do everything from create a new page, enable the Divi builder, kind of everything that you do in a web design process, creating posts and making sure that that there aren't any conflicts. Mm-hmm. So if we do come across something, we'll send that back. We'll create a Trello card. of a bug, and our developer will work on it, you know, and then he'll come back and say, okay, I think this is fixed, test it. So once we have everything, pretty much all the bugs worked out for the most part, then we send to a few external beta testers, just, you know, friends or you know, people that we know in the Divi community. And then, you know, once we think something is ready to launch, we package it up, we do all the marketing for it, videos, readme documentation, you know, put together the email newsletters, and that alone takes, you know, takes a ton of time just even getting that marketing material together.
Okay, so now let's move on to the tools. But as we talk about tools, I know we've mentioned several already, but I think I'd like to expand that section to include like team structure and how you guys have actually, for instance, right now, when you go to the Aspen Grove website, it looks like a 2-man operation, you and David. Correct. And one dog.
yeah, Doug, that's my dog. I think he's hanging outside the window here.
So officially it's the two of you as co-founders, and that's Aspen Grove, but you actually, like you've mentioned several times, that you have a developer or maybe a developer team. So what is, how big exactly is your distributed workforce, and what tools and what levels of access do you give different people to help manage all that? And so now I think would be a good time to run through the tools, but explain how that actually facilitates your whole team working together.
Sure. Besides David and myself, and we're actually getting ready to add more team members besides my dog onto the website. Cool. We have a developer, Gio, and he's more of a front end developer. He's amazing in Divi. He could like take a look at any PSD mockup and like put the site together. It's amazing. And he's pretty, you know, CSS. He has some PHP knowledge, and then we have a backend developer. On a daily basis, they're both working on like completely different things, mm-hmm. For the most part. So they have different access levels depending on what project, they're working on. Our front end developer, he has, you know, more access level to like development websites, and, you know, for the most part, he has administrative, access to most of those sites. Mm. Our backend developer, for the most part, is just working like locally on his system, mm-hmm. or on, we have like some different development sites just for like testing plugins. So typically our backend developer isn't really working on client sites. We're not having to give them like FTP access to different servers and stuff like that. So as far as communication goes, for every project we have going on, whether it's a plugin, a child theme, or a website for a client, we create, we first go in and we create a Slack channel for that.
Okay.
And so, you know, let's say the Slack channel is XYZ plugin. So we create a Slack channel for that, and all communication regarding that, that plugin, we have, you know, within that channel. Mm. So for people that aren't familiar with Slack, it's basically, they kind of tout it as like a email killer.
Yeah. And it is, it's awesome.
It is. Yeah. We use
it at ET, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. We rarely use email for like internal communication. Mm-hmm. Of course, with clients and different things coming in, we get a ton of emails, but Slack is just like awesome to communicate, tasks and things like that. To our team, and mm-hmm. keep it confined within a certain space.
Yeah. And to have the conversation contained for each, like you said, you have a channel for each product or project. And so to have that conversation contained within one channel is fantastic, because I don't know how many times, you know, in the past where you've got a single email chain that covers like 15 different topics, like you don't have to deal with that mess anymore.
Yeah. Email's a huge mess for project collaboration. So, yep. You know, in Slack, you're able to upload screenshots, files, and kind of just keep everything all in one spot. So then with each Slack channel, we also make then we go over to Trello.
Okay.
And then we set up our Trello board. So we create a new board for the project, and then we go in and we set up the lists, the to-do, doing, testing done type of thing. And then Slack has integration. Tons of integration. So anytime our developer is in Trello making a note or moving a card to a different list, it'll actually like shoot that notification into Slack. So we're able to, for the most part, just have our Slack open all day and see, you know, when we need to check out Trello. So it's really streamlined our workflow.
That's awesome. And I found that in a lot of ways, I don't know if you remember back several years now, the book came out, Rework.
Yeah.
So they were like all anti-meeting, I don't know if they were anti-email, but they were definitely anti-meeting. And I feel like Slack is one of those things that kind of allows you to be meeting and email free for the most part, because everything's coming to you exactly where and when you need it. So you don't really have to go, well, let's call a meeting so we can all get on the same page. You're always on the same page if you have the right, system set up.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of goes back to like the Tim Ferriss and Rework mode of thinking. Yeah. Meetings, they can really end up being time suckers. Yeah. So David and myself usually have, like a morning meeting. It might be like 30 minutes or something like that. But for the most part, our team, sometimes we'll put together Skype calls, with one of our development members. Yeah. But I'd say like on the average day, we're just communicating within Slack and Trello.
Yeah. And I can say, like that's kind of the same case with Elegant Themes. I mean, we think we have one meeting a quarter, maybe.
Yeah.
Everything else is through Slack, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, there are, like you said, just occasionally someone will choose to do a Skype call or whatever, but it's not usually like essential to getting things done, which is kind of cool.
Sure.
It's just like, this feels nice or this feels better than this is a nice change of pace. It's not like time to do the weekly grind meeting or the daily grind meeting or whatever.
Yeah.
So what other tools do you use? We've gone over Trello and Slack pretty extensively. You mentioned that you do Skype when you need to do some FaceTime with people. What are the tools help you guys as a team stay on the same page and get work done together?
Sure. I'd say beyond Slack and Trello, probably our next most important tool is Google Apps. We just store all of our, our plugins, our child theme packages, just all kinds of stuff in Google Apps. And that really helps our team, just jump into our, to our Aspen Grove Studios folder and access stuff, really quickly, whether it be images for, like grabbing our logo for certain things, grabbing images we may have dropped in there for a client. So we definitely are using that every day, all throughout the day. Evernote we use. We actually add like all of our logins. Whether it be for like our own website, FTP logins and things like that, we use Evernote for. We used to use Google Drive for it, but
Is there a reason why you use Evernote and not say like a shared spreadsheet or something?
I'm not sure I can give you. I can't remember exactly why we started using it over just like a Google Drive folder. But for us, it's easy. Just click the icon like on our Mac and have Evernote pop up instead of having to go like into Google Drive and click on this folder and then open this document. Evernote's just kind of like right there, and we can access stuff really easily.
That's cool. That's awesome.
So, yep.
Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to bring up and just kind of get your take on, as someone doing it right now, I think there might be some hesitation from people who are kind of dipping their toe in the freelance or digital agency world, maybe doing it on the side while they work somewhere else. And I think one of the insecurities or the fears that comes along with taking the next step is it can feel like it's not as legit to not go to work every day. You know what I mean? It can be like, this is really scary. Like, am I actually going to be as productive? Am I actually going to be as motivated to get my work done? Am I actually going to have the tools I need to do the kind of work that's going to pay my bills? Like, what would you say to that person?
Well, I'd say, you know, you do have to be disciplined, mentally, you know, just because you're working out of your house, you know, mm-hmm. like right now I'm sitting in a sectioned off room of my garage, which I've, converted into my office, but you know, just have, you know, whether it be a separate corner or a room in your house, just that's your office, you know, you use that for business mm-hmm. and, you know, just every day you have to be in the mentality of, this is my job. This is how I pay my bills. I'm mm-hmm. taking this seriously. You know, yeah. You know, it'd be nice to cut out Friday at noon and you know go enjoy the outdoors, but mm-hmm. I've got work to do. Absolutely. So for me, you know, that was a huge part, just kind of preparing myself every day mentally.
Do you have any rituals that you do to like daily routines type stuff that you do to help get you in that space, that mental space?
Well, getting out of it's the hard part. You know, my daily routine, I try to keep it somewhat the same. I get up at like 6 or 6:30, in the morning. I kind of like lay in bed for a little bit. I'll check some baseball scores, you know, things like that.
And yeah, I noticed you're a big Dodgers fan, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you couldn't tell by the 100 bobbleheads back there. So, relax, get the coffee going, you know, and then my day, you know, kind of consists of I sit down at my desk. I answer support tickets probably for, you know, 15, 20 minutes, however long it takes. Check my emails. And then for me, having a partner has been extremely crucial because you're able to like keep each other accountable. Yeah. You know, not that
are
you
wouldn't getting work done things. Today.
Yeah. Are you getting, where are you at today? So, you know, so for me, having a business partner has been awesome.
That's cool.
You know, and it breaks up the monotony of just like sitting there, just chatting with, you know, like talking to yourself all day, basically. Actually have somebody else to run ideas off of.
Yeah. Doug can only go so far in terms of conversation, right?
Doug the dog. He's not much of a conversationalist, but he, you know, he'll chase a tennis ball all day long.
Well, it looks like we're getting close to the end on time, our time limit for the show for this episode. And as you know, I like to end these interviews with a parting thought. And typically that parting thought is just, an essential takeaway, something that you want to highlight that if someone were to forget everything else that we've talked about today, what's the one thing that you feel like they should walk away from this interview kind of taking to heart and thinking about applying to their work life?
Sure. I would say a little bit of planning now goes a long ways later and will make your life a lot easier. So get those processes in place. Get your get your contracts together. Get your workflow in place, find out what tools you're comfortable with and will help you with that workflow. And, you know, taking a weekend or a couple of weekends just to get that planned out and figured out will make you more confident and more productive moving forward. So, you know, you don't end up 6 months from now having a project fall apart. You don't have a contract in place. And so just having all those processes in place will really help you kind of de-stress and be more productive.
Yeah. So find what works for you and then stick to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Our method may not work exactly for you, but find out what works for you and stick with it. Yep.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds like a great parting thought. And I just want to thank you, Corey, for taking the time to come on the show and share your experiences with the Divi Nation.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. As always, I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Corey Jenkins, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about the stuff we talked about in this episode, feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog or wherever you happen to be viewing this episode. I've made sure that Corey's aware of this going live, and I'm sure he'll be happy to drop by and answer any questions that he can. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I look forward to seeing you around the community. And as always, I will be back next week with another episode of Divi Nation.